Well, good morning and welcome to part four of our series, When You Pray. So honored to have you with us today. We're going to have a great time together in God's Word. I want to jump right into our message today, part four of When You Pray. Let me remind you again that God is in control. He is on His throne today, and we can trust Him and we can look to Him. And we are looking to Him in prayer as we're taking this series and we're developing and understanding what Jesus taught us about how we are to pray. Let me remind you that Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me remind you also, we are in a spiritual battle, but let me just also remind you that the battle is the Lord's and He has already won. Ephesians teaches us this, that says, in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So I want us to know it is a spiritual battle that we're in, but Paul admonishes us and teaches us how that we're to put on the full armor of God. And then he goes on to say that we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. He goes on to say, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And that's my prayer today, that I will speak words of life to you, words in season that will bring hope, that will bring life, that will bring healing, and that will bring God's peace to our land. I want us to know that in this series, in everything that we're teaching in these 7 weeks, our goal is to point you to Jesus. And I believe it's a beautiful thing that Jesus taught us when He taught us how to pray. And he modeled this in the Lord's Prayer. I want us to look at this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, where Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Luke's account, in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And His response was, when you pray. And He modeled this prayer. And I want to tell you, when we pray, amazing things happen. And God desires for us to pray. You know, God can arbitrarily do things Himself, but He doesn't desire to do it that way. He wants to engage with you and I in relationship, and we agree with Him in prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So He wants us to engage Him in prayer. He wants us to call out to Him. And I believe that prayer, as I've said before, should be our first response, not our last resort. And so when we pray, we know amazing, amazing things happen. We can call out to Him. He will answer us and show us great and mighty things, which we do not know. I want to jump right in to this this installment today, but let me just very briefly just mention this. And that is, in week one, we talked about paternal love, where Jesus began this and modeled this prayer by saying, our Father in heaven. And so the first thing we do is we connect with God relationally. That's the very first thing. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So it's important that we come to God relationally. We must have a relationship with Him. And so it's not just we're praying to some higher power in the cosmos, but we have a relationship where God adopts us in, and we could call Him Abba Father, which means Daddy God. We could have that kind of relationship with Him. And in week two, we talked about the presence of God, where Jesus said, hallowed be your name. And so we come to Him in worship. We worship His name. When we pray, we give honor to Him. And then last week in part three, we talked about priorities, where Jesus went on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray His agenda first. This is where we in prayer align ourselves with God's will and purpose. It's where we get our priorities straight. And so before we talk to God about our needs, our list, our agenda, we seek His agenda and His will. That's why He said in Matthew 6:33, in that same chapter where He modeled the prayer, He goes on to say, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so I want us to jump right into today's installment in part four, and we're going to talk about provision. This is where we pray for provision. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." I want us to see, first of all, the importance of the order of this prayer that Jesus modeled for us. So as we get into praying for provision, understand there's an importance to the order. So we don't just jump right into say, "Hey God, I need this, that, and the other. Here's my list. Here's my grocery list." No, there is an importance to the order of God's prayer. So we begin by connecting with God relationally. Father, we understand the Father who loves us. He is a God who loves us. We can have that kind of relationship. And then we worship His name. And so therefore we're ushered into His presence where, listen, that's where we're changed. It's not where we go trying to convince God and change God's mind. No, we're ushered into His presence and He changes us from the inside out. And we pray His agenda. We align our priorities with His. And it is only then that we can begin to pray our agenda, because He first aligns our agenda with His agenda, so that when we pray, we now pray effective prayers. So I want you to write this down, and that is that we need to depend on Him for everything. This is what Jesus is teaching us. We come to Him and say, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." He wants us to depend upon Him for everything. We have a Heavenly Father that wants us to depend upon Him. Throughout Scripture, we see blessings and we see rewards comes to those who put their trust in God and completely depend upon Him. It actually honors God when we put our complete faith in Him. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him." James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. So God wants us to seek Him, and God is a giver of good gifts as we come to Him. He wants us to ask Him. He is the God who gives good gifts to His children. In fact, Matthew 7 and verse 11, Jesus said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" So He wants us to ask of Him. He even says in that same chapter of Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, He says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open." So Jesus, it teaches very explicitly here that He wants us to ask the Father. It pleases God when we come to Him and we ask Him, we petition Him, we make request of Him. But notice this, James teaches us in chapter 4, verse 3, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." And so when we come to God with wrong motives, that's why it's important that we take this model prayer in order. We pray His agenda first. We align ourselves, and then we can pray the right kind of prayers. But when we don't do that, we ask the wrong kind of questions. We pray and request the wrong things. So listen to this. When He says that when you ask with the wrong motives, you spend what you want on your own pleasures. Now, sometimes we ask the question, why doesn't God answer me? Or specifically, why doesn't He answer me the way I want Him to? Sometimes it's because we pray the wrong prayers. Sometimes it's because we pray with the wrong motives. Someone once said, "Be careful what you pray for. You may get it." But, you know, we used to have a TV show years ago that was titled Father Knows Best. And I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father, our wise and loving Heavenly Father, always knows best what's best for His children. And listen to this. God doesn't mind you having stuff as long as stuff doesn't have you. So when we are praying for stuff, when we're praying our list, it's important to remember, God doesn't mind you having stuff as long as the stuff doesn't have you. And it's illustrated actually when Jesus was teaching in this same chapter, Matthew 6. This is a powerful chapter of Jesus teaching us these principles. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where Jesus is talking about how we're not to lay up treasures on earth, but we're to lay our treasures up in heaven. In other words, get your priorities straight and what's important. And he says that as he's explaining this, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now notice this. God doesn't just want your treasure, okay? He's not about your treasure. He wants your heart. What God's really after is your heart, because he says, there will your heart be also. And it lets us in a little bit of the heart of God. What God wants, he wants to know that he's first in our life. He wants to know that he is priority number one. And when he's priority number one, and we've got that straight in our life, then he's able to grant us the request that we ask him of. And so we got to understand this. So often our focus is about earthly things instead of eternal things. And we got to get our priorities right. Matthew 6 addresses our concerns for the everyday things that we have need of. And we do have needs of things. And Jesus is saying, I know you've got needs for clothes. You got need for food. I know you've got need of all these things. But he explains in verse 32 of that chapter, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So God already knows our needs. Before we even ask him, he already knows the needs of our life. But he explains in the next verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I just think sometimes we pray about a lot of things. If we pray more about the kingdom of God, God's going to automatically take care of our needs. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He goes on then, and I love this. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. I'm convinced of this. I think sometimes we do more worrying than we do praying. We need to replace our worrying with praying. And Jesus is teaching us this. Instead of worrying about things, pray. And when you pray, when you're praying for provision, understand that God knows your needs, but pray primarily for his kingdom, his agenda. He aligns our hearts with his, and then we're qualified to then approach him for our needs, because then our request is pure, our request is right. In fact, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, our life is lined up with him. Our heart is right with him. And now we can come to him, and when we ask with right motives. And God is able to grant those things. And so we have a confidence that when we ask of him, we receive of them those things we ask, because we have aligned our life with him. Now look at what Jesus teaches us here. In verse 11, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. Now take that first two words there. Give us. I want you to write this down. Number one, write this down. This is real simple, but oh, we need to understand this. God is my source. Write that down. God is my source. See, too often we look at things around us as being our source when those are merely the means. But we always need to realize that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He is the God who supplies our needs. And we look to him and we recognize that he is our source. He is our source. And then he goes on to say, give us this day, write this down. Number two, I will depend on God today. And that's what God asks us to do. One day at a time. He is our daily bread. Give us this day this day. And then he says, our daily bread, right? Number three down, number three. I will live each day in relationship with God. So it's daily bread. It's that God wants us to have a daily, day by day relationship with him. He doesn't give us way down the road. He gives us today, that we trust him today, and God will take care of tomorrow. He'll be there with us when we get there. But God wants us to partake of this daily bread. So I will live in relationship with God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to pull all this together, and this is really kind of where I've been rushing to get to in this message, and that is this. When we pray, give us, Lord, our daily bread, I think a lot of times we think, okay, this is my turn. This is now my time to pray for those things that I have need of. And so here's my list, Lord. Now, I've got your agenda out of the way. Now, here's really what I'm trying to get to. Here's the crux of what I wanted to talk to you about. I've got these needs in my life. And a lot of times those needs are based primarily around our physical needs, our temporal needs, those things that we need in life. And those things are valid. But I want us to understand what Jesus is teaching here when he says, give us this day our daily bread. When Israel was delivered out of bondage, out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, God rained down manna from heaven. And he gave them instructions, gather each day just what you need that day. It's daily bread that I'm raining down for you to have sustenance there in the wilderness. And I'm going to supply for you each day what you need. Now, they would try to hoard up and save for extra days, and that didn't work out too well. And what God was teaching them was, this is a daily bread, a daily bread. Now, let's fast forward into the New Testament, and we see Jesus at a scene where he is feeding 5,000 people. And they recognized who he was because he fed them out of this small boy's lunch, this miracle feeding the 5,000. And they began to go after him to take him to be their king. And Jesus withdrew himself because their agenda was an earthly agenda. Their agenda was a political agenda for the systems of this world. And Jesus, his plan was higher than that. His kingdom is not of this world. He has an eternal kingdom, an eternal plan in place. And I think sometimes we want Jesus to meet our particular political agenda and our fix our system. But listen, Jesus has a system that's beyond this world and a plan that's beyond this world. And Jesus began to teach them when they finally caught up with Jesus and gathered to him. And he said, you followed me because you ate the bread and your stomach was filled. So you're after me because of what you can get out of me. You're after me for the physical. You're after me for the things around you in your own life naturally that I can meet your needs. But Jesus was teaching them there's so much more that you need to hear. In fact, I believe when Jesus did miracles in his days, the idea was not just to heal their bodies, but then he sat down and taught them and he gave them spiritual food. So what I'm trying to say this morning is, there's physical manna that we seek, but Jesus is offering us spiritual manna. And he began to explain to them that he was actually that manna that came down in the wilderness, that he was the bread of life. When the Bible teaches us that you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, it was describing Jesus, who is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. It is none other than Jesus Christ. And when we seek him and when we partake of him, and he even began to say, if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, then you have no part of me. And they didn't understand it. But what Jesus was saying was, this is not just physical, this is spiritual. And so when Jesus says, pray, listen, when Jesus says, pray, give us this day our daily bread, he's not just talking about the natural provisions, and those things are important, and it's included in there. But more importantly, what Jesus was teaching us is, he's saying, seek me, partake of me daily, walk with me daily, have a day-by-day relationship with me, walk with me, be in relationship with me, partake of me, and the bread has to be eaten each and every day. In other words, it's fresh bread every morning. And we have to partake of that each and every day because it gets stale if we just leave it there, right? And we can't just store it up, but it's day by day. Jesus wants a fresh, vibrant, real relationship with us. I heard a song years ago by Chuck Mangione, and a line in it says that says you could take the bread from hungry children, and it says that bread alone won't ease the hunger in their eyes. I want to tell you, what we offer to people is not just silver and gold. What we have to offer people is the name of Jesus Christ, the one who comes to satisfy. In fact, when you look at the teaching of Jesus, we understand he is the only one that can satisfy. He's the one that we can drink of his well and will never thirst. We'll eat of his bread and will never be hungry. Listen, you may have been searching for a lot of things to satisfy you and thinking, if I could just have these things and this stuff in my life, then my life will be complete and be full. But if you've tried that, you'll discover that it doesn't satisfy very long. The only one that can satisfy is Jesus Christ, is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our daily bread. He is that we partake of that gives us life and life to the fullest. Would you like to have that experience? Would you like to experience life to the fullest? Would you like to be fully satisfied? You can today by receiving his bread of life that he offers to you. He offers that by coming, dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And when we by faith receive him into our life, listen, everything changes. He makes all things new. I want to pray with you today and offer you that life. And if you'd like to pray that prayer, I want you to pray that with me. In faith, all you got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. But if that's you today and you just know that you need to accept Jesus into your life, you need to partake of this living bread that will give you life, I want to offer this to you. And I want to pray this prayer with you. Can you just pray something like this with me? Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that I could have life. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Now today, I want to live for you. I open my heart. I accept you into my life. I surrender my life to you. I invite you to come in and make me brand new. Thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for giving me purpose. Thank you for giving me peace today. By faith, I accept you now, and I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.